Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, reveal to us your word. Let us be a holy temple built on Christ, our sure foundation. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 23, and I'm reading from the New International Version. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life, or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to enter into this journey of faith and continuing on this journey of faith as we gather as God's people this morning. Will you join with me in prayer? Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've given us, and we're grateful. Thank you for your word. Again, one more reminder that you're speaking into our lives, you're creating, you're actually actively at work. Keep us open and humble to how you speak to us. And it's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. There was a man who went into a bar in Ames, Iowa. I think I'll just end with that right there. Uh-oh. And he ordered three individual mugs of beer at the same time. Okay? Now, a mug of beer, for those of you who have never seen one, is about like that tall. Okay? I don't know, some of you. And he ordered three of those. And they were all lined up on the table. And he would take a sip out of one. And then a sip out of the next one. And then a sip out of the next one. They have handles on them also. And feel free to jump in at any time. You know what? They're fancier in Ames. They have handles there. So you take a sip and sip. And the bartender's looking at him and saying, "Sir, why don't you just order one at a time? I mean, by the time you're done, it's going to be flat. It's going to be warm. And you know, why don't you just go ahead and order one and then come back up?" And he said, "Well, this is the story. You know, I have two brothers, and we don't live that close. One lives in Aberdeen, Washington, and the other one lives in Medicine Hat, Alberta. And you can cheer if you like either of those places. Feel free to jump in. And so every time I get together, I order a beer for each of us. And since we can't spend time together, this is kind of a nice way for me to think about them and just imagine that they're sitting with me here at this table. He said, oh, that's touching. That's beautiful. Well, one day, this gentleman goes in and he only orders two beers, two mugs. Well, the bartender's kind of nervous. How do I approach this? And finally, he works up the courage to say, you know, my condolences. I'm sorry. It must be that one of your brothers has passed away. The gentleman stops and thinks for a second. He says, oh, no. No. They didn't pass away. You see, I became a Christian, but they didn't. Get it? Just making sure everybody is with me here and just look around. Takes a little bit of time. Whenever we take on the name of Christ, there are changes that happen. Sometimes we feel a definite change. Sometimes it's a very dramatic thing that takes place. It's kind of an epiphany, an awareness, an openness to God speaking into our lives. And how appropriate that we would use that term epiphany once again today, since we are still in the season of epiphany. We're heading towards Lent, but we're still in that season of epiphany, and that season when it is encouraged that we think about God breaking into our lives, surprising us, maybe even startling us. How is God speaking into your life? That's a thought to consider, to ponder. But sometimes, as Christians, we take on that name of Christ, and all of us as Christians have actually taken on that name of Christ, and it's a gradual process. Has anybody ever climbed or hiked Telegraph Pass out here? That's a gradual process, isn't it? Has anybody ever run up it? Somebody? Okay. It's gradual. You stop, kind of catch your breath, stop a little bit more, gasp for breath, crawl a little bit more, drink some water, that kind of thing. It's a process, and I equate that to the Christian walk at times. It's much more of a process, and when we think about journey, it's ongoing. It never ends. Well, it does end, but that's only when we are with God in glory in heaven. But until then, we're growing, we're struggling, we're challenged, we're stretched. God speaks into our lives and maybe asks us to move in a certain way or a certain direction or open ourselves to a certain person, ministry. God works in so many different ways. I can't even count them all. I couldn't even name them all. Couldn't even fathom them all. And yet in our journey, God is always at work, even when it's tough, even and especially when it's arduous. God never stops being at work. Now, as Christians, again, we take on that name of Christ. We take on that name of the resurrected one, the Savior of the world. And that is our foundation. Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. And Paul, in speaking to his friends at the church at Corinth, and speaking to those beloved ones at Corinth, speaking to those saints and sinners at Corinth, Paul is reminding them that Christ is your foundation. That's the building block. If you don't have that as your starting point, then you need to start again. You need to step back. You need to appraise where you are, what your starting point is, what your foundation is. For us today, we understand and we remember that hymn, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we are the church together. The church is not a building. Church is not a steeple. You maybe sung that The church is the people. And the people gathered with that common ground, Jesus. Now, maybe we experience Jesus in different ways, and I'm sure we do. Each of us here has a different relationship with God through Jesus. It's a different place. Some of us are newer in the faith. Some of us have been walking on this journey for some time. But all of us, no matter what our differences, no matter where we come from, no matter what we've gone through, no matter where we're heading or what we're heading into, what is our same foundation? Let's try that again. What is our same foundation? Jesus, yeah, absolutely. Think about that. Think about that. That commonality, that powerful hope that is conveyed in each and every person here, having that foundation in some way, in different ways, certainly, but intimately, that same foundation based on Jesus, what God did for us through Christ. Now, it's important to remember also that in the early church, in the church at Corinth, they wouldn't have had this. Okay, they would not have had this kind of building place where they all gathered. It would have been a number of houses, house churches, places that were safe for Christians to gather. Maybe even some did it kind of undercover because they weren't really sure the response of others. Isn't that amazing? What a wonderful change that is, that we can gather here. We don't have to do it secretly. We can gather openly and proclaim our faith and invite others also to have that same foundation, Jesus. But in an early church, it was a different kind of circumstance. Also in the early church, there were particular personalities that individuals were following. Okay, and maybe they started connecting themselves more to that personality rather than Jesus. You would say, and I think this is fair to define it in this way, that there were cults of personality that sprung up based on charismatic individuals rather than based on that relationship with God through Jesus. There were probably at least four different groups. I wanted to be able to share those things about the early church to kind of give you more of an understanding of why Paul was so strong in his language and so definitive that it has to be about Jesus. You know, they weren't all gathered together. They were gathered in different places, and they started following individuals rather than basing their lives on Jesus. So Paul had to be kind of a hammer, didn't he? Again and again, reminding people of what they needed to come back to. In Paul's time also, the Greek word for temple, naos, referred to a dwelling place for a god. That's small letter G. Either a statue, whenever you went in, that's all you saw, and that's what you prayed to, a particular statue of a Greek or Roman god, or a spirit. In the Jewish scriptures, the central building of the temple in Jerusalem was called the Bet Yahweh, or House of the Lord. Now, Paul stretches us today even, because certainly we think about coming to church, and we think about coming here. For those of us also who live in other places around the world, we have connections with faith communities there, and we think about those places. And here, in this very place, we pray for all those places as well. Sister congregations, brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, because wherever we gather, and whatever structure we gather, we are still gathered in the name of Jesus. That's the foundation. That's the starting point. That's the building block. Powerful, isn't it? Just to kind of stretch ourselves too, to realize that it's more than what we're doing here. It's about what God is doing in all of His creation. John Wesley, who is a founder of Methodism, not the denomination, but more of a way of reaching out to people and sharing the good news, and quite evangelical in his approach, said, "The world is my parish. The world is my parish. Wherever God led him, whoever God led him to be in front of, to be able to share the good news, to share what God had done for him, that's where he was willing to follow. You know, our sister in Christ was offering and sharing about the work through the Peace Corps, about going all over the world and serving. And for us as Christians, we are called to serve wherever God plants us. Might not be taking us all over the world. Might be taking us into our own backyard. Hey, let's face it. Evangelism also starts in our own home, in our own marriages, in our own families. But before that, where does it start? In the heart. The transformation that God is always at work about in our hearts. Paul was reminding the early church that was key to be open to. The foundation of the church, first of all, Paul says, is Jesus Christ. Number one. The church is the temple of God on earth, God's dwelling place. And that kind of stretches our understanding as well. So it's not about a building. And certainly we want to take care of this place and take care of the upkeep. And we are all stewards. Remember that. Hear that. We are all stewards of this place and making sure that it is in good shape and ready to be able to do God's work, that we can do God's work through this place. But really, God's temple is more about us. Okay, the living organism that we are when we are together as God's people. Think about that. God's temple. You are God's temple. Now, thinking about that, keeping that in mind, Pastor just said I'm God's temple. Well, I think my foundation is cracking a little bit. I think I may need a little bit more mortar to hold these teeth together. I got this hearing aid. You know, how can I in any way serve whenever it seems like I'm falling apart? No. Don't think that. Because our God is an awesome God. A God beyond anything that we can imagine, and a God who's capable of anything. If God is going to do it, can we stand in the way? No. So why not be open to how God is moving as that temple, as that living organism, that living, breathing organism, the church? Paul also is sharing how important it is to be together in worship. And he's reminding the Corinthians that as those who claim the name of Christ, we are called to be together. Certainly, you know, I was mentioning about Telegraph Pass. I was thinking about hiking the other day. And it's wonderful to be able to get out there and to be able to take in the beauty of everything. Some of you regularly go out in the mission field. It's on green grass, and you shake this thing, and you hit this white ball. That's a mission field also. You can take in God's beauty. And, you know, you're out there, and you're just kind of taking in all of creation. Okay, you with me with this? You see the sunsets. You see the sun rises. And that's something that's really nourishing and nurturing. And we do that oftentimes on our own. But Paul reminds us, and I'm going to echo it in very strong ways, that we are not Christians isolated. We don't do it on our own, okay? We do it together. Earlier in this letter, a couple Sundays ago, I was sharing with you that Paul was saying that the Christian community in Corinth, no matter how disjointed they were, no matter how they were kind of pulling apart and even having some infighting, they had all of the gifts that they needed to be able to follow how God was leading them. Understand that? But it was together. Nobody here has all the gifts that are ever going to be necessary to do God's work forever on earth. But you do have gifts, and each and every person here has gifts and talents to lend to the greater good, to following God, to doing the work that God guides us to do. So what does that mean? If each of us has those gifts, shouldn't we pull together? Shouldn't we work together? You know, yesterday was a great example of that. The breakfast. People pulling together. Nobody got a spatula cut from somebody, you know, swinging it around to. Although we will need assistance, my friends, in the time of fellowship, to scrape some of the pancakes off the ceiling that floated up. There was, so I need some volunteers to get on ladders. But be able to see people working together. Now, you wouldn't think, okay, but church breakfast, big deal. But you know what? Whenever people work together in any way in God's house to be able to further God's kingdom, to be able to lift up the name of Jesus above all because Jesus is already our foundation, that, my friends, is being the church. Paul shared it. I'm simply offering what Paul has already reminded us of. Has anybody ever watched Home Improvement, the television show? Tim the Tool Man? Do we have any Tim the Tool Mans here? I'll raise my hand. Yeah, absolutely. Or Timothina, the Tool Woman, maybe? So, yeah, absolutely. Well, in one particular episode, Tim is leading one team and Al is leading the other team, okay? And they're both going to be building a house for Habitat for Humanity. I don't know if you've ever seen that episode. And Tim seems to have all of these really phenomenal, you know, brutish kind of guys, former NFL players. Well, Al has these people that at first don't seem to really be able to build a house, but they are skilled. And they really know what they're doing. And they have their gifts and they want to share it for the common good. Well, guess whose house turns out better? Al's. Absolutely. Because they were willing to work together. They were willing to keep focused on the greater good, a common goal, and they were willing to create something to be able to bless someone else. In fact, at the end of the show, there's a taped message from Jimmy Carter, who's been very involved in Habitat for Humanity, and it's something that Tim and his wife are watching, and Jimmy Carter says, "And Tim, we have teams working round the clock to try to fix your house." That's a perfect illustration, though. If we kind of do our own thing, and if we feel like we're a lone wolf, feel like we're a lone ranger, we're never going to be able to help the church. We're never going to be able to be the body of Christ. But if we work together, what can we do? What can God do through us? Outstanding, isn't it? Isn't that exciting to think about? It's a story of Richard Foster, who is one of my favorite authors. Richard Foster. You can write that name down. Anything you read of his will be worthwhile and help your spiritual growth and development. Very challenging. And he spent one summer with the Eskimo people in Alaska. Hey, where did we hear that before? In Alaska. The Eskimo Christians, Dr. Foster shares, I met there had a deep sense of the wholeness of life, with no break between their prayer and their work. No break between their prayer and their work. No break between their prayer and their work. Was there any break between their prayer and work? No. Dr. Foster had come with an attitude of adventure, of building the first high school above the Arctic Circle. It's a true story. However, it was hard work and far from the adventure he thought it would be. It was hard, back-breaking labor. I can't even imagine this. One day he was digging a trench for a sewer line that he claimed was no small task in a world of frozen tundra. Can you imagine? As an Eskimo man whose face and hands displayed the leathery toughness of many winters watched him as he dug. And what he says to Foster, I wanted to go ahead and share with you this morning. you are digging a ditch to the glory of God. Dr. Foster knew he had said it to encourage him, and he has never forgotten this man's words. Quote, beyond my Eskimo friend, no human being ever cared or knew whether I dug that ditch well or poorly. In time, it was to be covered up and forgotten. But because of my friend's words, I dug with all my might, for every shovelful of dirt was a prayer to God. All of our activities, everything we do, needs to be evaluated in these terms, my friends, as those who have the foundation of Jesus, as the modern day church. Paul teaches us, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. We order our personal lives and our corporate life in the church on the solid foundation of Jesus. Our lives are changed by Jesus. Our lives continue to change because of the foundation of Jesus. How is your prayer? How is your work for the kingdom together in union? And how are we encouraging one another as the living temple, the body of Christ, the church in the world today? Join with me in a time of prayer and reflection.